Thank you for listening to an audio recording from the Midwest Genealogy Center's Tell Me a Story program, an initiative dedicated to preserving America's history through the timeless practice of oral storytelling. To learn more about the Tell Me a Story program, including how you can add your own story to the collection, visit MidwestGenealogyCenter.org/tellmeastory. On behalf of the Midwest Genealogy Center and Mid-Continent Public Library, we hope you enjoy the following story.
This is Saturday, September 22nd, 2018. I'm Tony Herman. Today I'm interviewing Mike Sharp about his experience and his service in our country. Which branch of the military were you in?
I was in the Navy.
And were you enlisted or drafted?
Enlisted.
What year did you join?
1962.
And what did you do for the Navy?
I was an electrician, interior communications electrician.
Where did you do your basic training?
In San Diego.
And what ships were you on?
I was only on one ship, the USS Tidewater, out of Norfolk. And we would rotate with two other ships, USS Sierra and Shenandoah. We were all destroyer repair ships, and we would rotate to Naples, Italy, for 5 months at a time and service the 6th Fleet in the Mediterranean.
Okay, did you have any war experience?
No. Although during my time in San Diego, I was there a year. After basic training, I had to wait for 5 months before my school started. But while in basic training, they had a, and it sounds funny if you weren't there, but they had a civil defense test where they told us to go to, we were in the latter days of our basic training, they told us to go to the storm shelters that we were going to be attacked. And everybody believed it. It wasn't a drill. We thought it was the real thing. So that was kind of scary one time. And after I was out of basic training, I was stationed at 32nd Street Naval Station out there. And I was working in a film library downtown at the 11th Naval District headquarters. But one morning I woke up and there were Marines bivouacked all over the naval station there, and just thick as fleas. And then they all loaded up on transports. And that was the first I'd heard of the Cuban Missile Crisis. And so there was 105 ships left the San Diego Harbor in one day. So it seemed to be pretty serious, you know. But that's the closest, I suppose, that I ever got to it, any combat. Although I suspect that our ship was a slow-moving target, and I suspect the Russian submarines probably practiced on us going to and from the Mediterranean, you know. But
it very well could be. So what type of systems did you work on?
I worked on gyro compasses for navigation. That's what mostly what we did. And the shop that I was in, that was R3 division, we were people that worked on the destroyers. When we had destroyers alongside, we would work on their ship rather than our ship. And they had their own crew of ICmen, which is what they call us, that worked on our own ship, ship's company, they call them. And so we worked on the destroyers, and I worked on gyro compasses, not so much, but all the speed indicators and the radar repeaters, and they had some equipment called the NC2 Canadian Plotter. That was where, if you had a helicopter, they had torpedoes that they could drop on submarines with a drone helicopter. And so this plotter would plot the flight of the helicopter as well as the target and the position of the ship. And they all moving along at the same time. So it kind of did its own thing as long as you had everything zeroed correctly, you know, to start with. And the radar repeaters, we didn't work on radar, but we did work on the repeaters. phone system, didn't do a whole lot of that. Movie projectors, we repaired movie projectors, and we had movies just about every night in our shop, you know. So we would trade movies with other ships, and we had a pretty good following of people that would come in the shop and watch movies, you know. Mm-hmm. So sometimes all weekend. But one of the worst days was when we were in Naples, is when John Kennedy was shot. And we were watching a movie about 7 o'clock at night, and captain came over to the intercom and said that he had been shot and had taken to Parkin Hospital. And then about 30 minutes later, they came on and said that he had been killed. And there was a lot of communists in Naples. And initially, the few first days after he was shot, people thought that, kind of automatically assumed that the communists were behind it. So there was a lot of fighting and stuff between the U.S. personnel and some of the people on shore. You didn't have to be a communist to...
Yeah.
but a lot of them probably weren't. But nonetheless, there was a lot of them there that demonstrated occasionally. A lot of turmoil after that. I know that I personally, the day, I believe it was a Saturday, I'm not sure, I was on duty the night that he was killed. But the next day I went down and I took the train to Pompeii, which is about 20 miles or so south of Naples. And everybody just avoided, it was really weird, you know. They weren't talking to us. Normally they was trying to sell us stuff, but they just really avoided us. I think it was probably, you know, just out of respect, maybe, I don't know. But I went out there and I didn't really feel like, I don't know, I won't say it didn't affect me, it did affect me. I like John Kennedy, but I just sat on a train, rode out there, and I think I stopped at a little sidewalk vendor and had a beer and got back on the train, went back. I didn't even go to see Pompeii. Didn't interest me that particular day, you know. And I don't know.
So how many years did you serve?
4. Actually, it was 3 years, 8 months, and 20 days. It was what they call a kitty cruise. I would have gotten out. My birthday's November 1st. I had it planned that I would get out. November 1st was a Monday. It's funny how you remember these things, but I had it planned to where I would get out on Friday because they didn't process you over the weekend or something. They let you go early if your birthday was on Monday. So didn't work out that way because when I was up to about in August before November, they come out with a 180-day, maybe it was 120-day extension of my enlistment. Because of Vietnam, they were trying to beef up the Navy. So they held a bunch of us back, which nobody had heard of that. We didn't think they could do that, but they did. And so I didn't get out till February 2nd.
But you did get out.
Yeah.
Do you have any regrets about your service?
Oh, you know, I wished I'd been more serious as a young man. You know, I suppose everybody, as they get older, they wish they'd been had a little more self-discipline. I had a lot of fun, but I wish I could have been a better person at that time. When I got out, it was 1966. Vietnam War was getting started. Jobs were plentiful if you had your service time done. The Navy didn't pay worth a darn. If you stayed in the Navy, your family would be kind of, your children wouldn't be going to the best schools, you wouldn't be living in the best areas of town. And mm-hmm. It was a rough life for enlisted men at that time, I think. So I have no regrets about getting out. I have regrets about not being able to stay in the reserves. I got into the reserves afterwards, and I stayed for 2 years, but I was going to school, and I couldn't take time off to go on a two-week cruise. And they let me slide the first time, but the second time they said, no, you gotta go on the cruise or we can't keep you, you know. So that was too bad because I enjoyed the reserves.
Do you keep in touch with any of the men that you served with?
Oh, yeah. We have reunions. Last weekend we had our 7th reunion down in Branson, Missouri. About 4 of them have been in Branson, and we're going to go back there again in 2 years. So it's really funny. The shop that I was in, there's over the 3 years I was in that shop, there was probably 12 or 15 guys that I worked with every day and knew intimately. And they, just about all of them that are still alive, they know about the reunion and we've talked on the phone. Not all of them go, but we're in contact. Yeah.
That's pretty good. So how did a naval group end up having its reunions thousands of miles from the ocean?
Well, we tried Norfolk, which was our home port. Of course, the naval bases are restricted now. Unless you're a career naval person, you can't get aboard the station. We went to Virginia Beach. There and the prices were kind of high. It's all related to money more than anything. The same way with Charleston, beautiful city. We enjoy Charleston. But Branson, the prices are much better. There's so much more to do. They take great care of us down there, and the people are friendly. And the last time we had a vote at our business meeting where to go next, no other town was put forward, only Branson. They were happy with Branson, so.
Well, good. Do you have any words of wisdom you would like to leave for future generations?
Well, that's a big question. You can't do it over. When you get to our age, you wish you could do some things over, and you can't do it. But who knows? If I had done it the way I now think I should have, who knows how it might have turned out? It might have been completely different, you know. So I'm happy. I've had a good life. So.
Well, thank you. All right. Thank you for that. Thank you for your time serving our country, and thank you for doing this interview.
You bet.
This is a continuation of the Mike Sharp interview.
Yeah, mom and dad had a way of showing up wherever I went. And they came down to Norfolk, and we went out to dinner, and they were on vacation, and they were there a few days. But when we were going overseas for the first time, and my dad never served in the military, he gave me a movie camera and said, when you're overseas, take some pictures and send them home to me. I'll get them developed. So all I had to do was buy the film, and he was going to develop them, which I did. And I took probably, I don't know, about 16 reels of movie film while I was over there in Naples and everywhere, just about everywhere I went. And, you know, probably 20 years after I got out, up popped all these films that I had taken, and somebody put them all on digital. My brother put them all on digital, on VHS tapes as a surprise, and he spliced them all together, but they were all out of order, you know. They not the way I would have done it, but eventually I was able to have the VHS tapes digitized, and I put them on the internet on our ship's website, and I've had more people that enjoy those videos than me too. I go back and watch them from time to time.
So they'd be on the USS Tidewater website.
Right, USSTidewater.org.
Okay, I may take a look at those.
Yeah. Just go to the video section.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir.
You bet. Thank you.